This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
If you've got your Bibles handy, you might want to turn with me over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we're going to read again from the Apostle Paul. You might recall last week we explored 2 Timothy, which is Paul's last letter. But what we're going to be exploring here in Acts chapter 20 is Paul's last words to a particular group of friends and elders that were very special to him. Now, you would remember, of course, that much of Paul's ministry that we read of in the book of Acts, he was an itinerant apostle. So in other words, he would move all around on his four missionary journeys, move all around increasingly from kind of Asia Minor and then into Europe and that as well. Normally, he'd spend maybe a few weeks, tops a few months in any of these particular locations that are referenced in the book of Acts. But there was one city where he put down roots for 3 years, which for Paul was a really big deal. There's no other record, I think, that we have of Paul staying in the one location for that long. It was one church that became really a launching pad from where he was there into the whole Asia Minor area. In fact, it was such a strategic launching pad that at the end, that partway through Acts 19, it says there that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. So this was the launching pad, as it were, to that whole region when he spent the 3 years there. And it's in all likelihood the city in which he discipled Timothy, perhaps his best known apprentice. The city, of course, was a city of Ephesus, and that city, more particularly the church in that city, it seemed to have captured Paul's heart like no other. And in Acts 20, we read Paul's last words to the elders at Ephesus. And for many years now, this passage has held a very special place in my heart, because what Paul does here, he articulates the heart of a pastor in such a deep, deep way. Acts chapter 20, I want to pick it up from verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. I'm going to read through to verse 38, I think, from memory. It says there, "From Miletus," that's a city on the coast, "from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And when they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I've lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of any of you. For I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and can give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. And what grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Paul is addressing here a group of friends and a group of leaders with his final words. There are some things that are weighing heavily on his heart, and he wants to communicate them with these leaders. Now, I want to say up front that Carolyn and my situation is different to Paul's. Okay, I'm not saying that it's like a mirror image of us at all. And I'll speak to that a little bit later. But what I do get here is the importance of the words that he is conveying to this group of people that he dearly loves. And while I want to address the whole church today, I specifically want to speak to leaders. If you're an elder, if you're a board member, if you're on the pastor staff team, if you're a connect group leader or a children's worker or and leader, or if you're a youth leader, if you're a ministry team leader, I particularly want to talk to you today. Yes, it's for the whole church, but I specifically want to speak to those who are leaders here this morning. And there's three commendations that Paul has for the church, but particularly for the leaders here in the city of Ephesus. The first one of those is to keep a passion for the word. Keep a passion for the word of God. Paul's encouraging them to reflect on his example. Have a look at verse 20 there. It says, you know that I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. Or down in verse 27, it says, therefore I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. One of the things that's encouraged me most about Narara over the last 19 years is that Narara as a church has a passion for the word of God. It's something that's really, really important to us. In fact, when we do the National Church Life Survey every year, and when we present it and you guys all go, and I always say, suck it up, be adults. but we do this thing, and every year it comes back, that engagement with the Word through preaching and teaching and other forms of kind of education around the Word of God, that's always kind of such a high value within us as a church. And I see it right across the generations. I see it in our kids' church ministry, how central the Word of God is to our kids' church ministry. In fact, little secret while she's not in the room, my wife can get really antsy sometimes. Really antsy, particularly when it comes to curriculum for kids' church. You see, there is so much curriculum out there that the best way to describe it is really wishy-washy, watered-down, kind of be a nice person value sort of stuff. And you look at this stuff and you go, oh man, this is terrible. Like, you know, yes, be a nice person, be a good citizen, but so much of the material out there is basically be a nice person. And that's the sum total. And Carolyn gets really upset, really antsy, going, what on earth are these people doing? This is not engaging with the scriptures. This is not pointing any of these kids to Jesus. What's going on here? And she'll get really kind of uptight about this. And I go, that's my girl. I love that. I love that about my wife, that this is something she's passionate about, because that's the same. We share that passion together. We want to be helping kids to engage with the scriptures. And so for the last 11 years, Carolyn's been trying to find material, or sometimes write material, that can help complement the discipleship in the home by helping kids engage with the scriptures. I see it in our youth ministry. It's a tough gig trying to help young teenagers to engage with the Word of God. But I know Lewis, and before him Benj, before him Phil, have been trying to help young people to engage with the Scriptures. In fact, for most of this year, I've been discipling a group of young adults who are all youth leaders. And one of the big things we've been doing is seeking to engage with the Scriptures so that they can then disciple young people effectively. And one of the highlights of my fortnight, each fortnight, is meeting with this group of young leaders who are just going, yeah, we want to do that, we get that. I see it within our adult community as well here at Narara. I estimate, I think over the last 19 years, I've preached around about 800 sermons, which is a lot, which equates, get this, to about over 460 hours, which equates to almost 20 days of non-stop preaching. No wonder you felt tired sometimes. no wonder some of you have yawned and gone to sleep. But this is a great church to be a preacher at, honestly, because there is this value that we have here at Narara of engaging in the Word of God. And I tell you what, when you get your new senior pastor, or whenever anybody else is kind of preaching, one of the things that I love that Narara does is when I'm standing at the door, people come up to me and they won't just say, oh, you know, nice sermon, pastor. They'll say, this is what I got out of it, and this is what I'm going to do. So it's not just preaching for information, it's preaching for transformation. And that's kind of who we are as a church. Even with our seniors as well, we just had 12 weeks where I was meeting with seniors online and we were studying, we did a thing on In Pursuit of Paul and In Pursuit of Peter. And we're tracking through the book of Acts on both Paul and Peter's lives using some video material as well. And to see our seniors going, yes, we want to engage with the Word of God. I find it fascinating that Paul highlights in verse 20 the importance of both public meetings like this and also meeting in homes. And I want to encourage you, I want to call you out and say, hey, make Sundays a priority. Make gathering together a priority to worship God, to connect with one another, and to engage with His Word. We're in this interesting season at the moment of coming out of COVID, and I know that there's still quite a number of people who are joining us online because there's still some nervousness, and I get that around the whole the COVID situation. And many people have been saying to me, oh, look, we'll be back on either December 5th or in the new year, and I want to encourage you to do it. Make it a priority to gather together. But also, as Paul says, make it a priority to get into homes with one another to be engaging with the Scriptures. So we're talking with Johnny Sharp this week, who was at the Pastor Staff Retreat, and that's kind of his biggest gig next year, is seeing Connect Groups really ramped up. And I want to encourage you, make the guys' ministry a joy and not a burden. Get into a Connect Group. And if you've led a Connect Group before and you know how to do that, step up as a leader. The biggest obstacle we've got to Connect Groups at the moment is leadership. We need more leaders for Connect Groups. And maybe, you know, Johnny can do some training in that area as well. But I want to encourage you, get into a Connect Group. Make it a priority for 2022 to get into a Connect Group so that you can connect with others and more importantly, perhaps connect with the Word of God as well. So Paul says, have a passion for the Word. Secondly, he says, keep a passion for the lost. Have a look at verse 21. He says, I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Or if you go a little bit further down, verse 24, it says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Now, what's the task? The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Many of you would understand the whole concept of, I think it's the physics term for it is entropy. I'll probably get corrected by Ian later on if I'm wrong on this, but just for now, mate, just nod like you agree. That'd be really helpful for me. But if you've got, for example, a spinning top and you start the spinning top up and it's spinning, 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 but eventually it'll wind down because there's not the energy being applied and it'll over it'll go. Or if you've got a battery, and if you just leave that battery there, eventually the battery dies. Or if you've got a kettle on a hot plate, and if you turn the heat, you know, it might be bubbling away, if you turn the heat off, eventually the water will go back to room temperature. And the same principle, it would seem, applies to evangelism. That within churches, unless we keep the Bunsen burner, as it were, underneath the concept of having a heart for the lost, of having a heart for people who don't know Jesus yet, unless we keep the fire under that thing, entropy, it seems, kicks in and it fades out and we forget about people who don't know Jesus. And Paul's saying the same thing here. He says, in fact, I love the way he says it in verse 24. He talks about finishing a race, and he's not talking about a sissy sprint. He's talking marathon at this point. He's talking about engaging over the long haul on developing relationship with those who don't know Jesus, of being able to share the gospel in word, deed, and sign, and of seeing people become disciples of Jesus. And more than just disciples, disciple makers. That's what he's getting at here. And the thing that I love about this image of the marathon, typically in a marathon, you're competing against other people. In this marathon, we get to do it together. We get to encourage one another and help one another on. In fact, one of my favorite memories of our time at Narara was some years ago, I was part of a group called Let's Get Muddy. And Let's Get Muddy, we went to the Raw Challenge. Anybody done Raw Challenge here before? Some of us around the room have. Okay, Raw Challenge is up at Doyleson, and I think I've got... Yeah, okay. This is the before shot. So this is some years ago, the before shot of and the iridescent green Let's Get Muddy shirts. Now, Raw Challenge is one of these kind of high intensity, I think, it is for a 50-year-old bloke like me, high intensity obstacle courses. There's 60 obstacles that you have to get around. And we did it as a team. And there's things like balance beams over mud. Sometimes you're literally wading through kind of waist-deep mud. You love it. There's these vertical walls you have to go up. There are what they call lily pads. And lily pads are these, you know, exercise mats. They kind of put them over the water, but you've got to run as fast as you can. Otherwise, you sink down and fall into the water. Lots of fun. Rope climbs, vertical nets. And the start is really good. So this is some of that. On the right there, that's Benj. Benj Gould. And this poor dude down the bottom there, he's trying to get up the wall. And as you go out and you're all nice and clean and you get to the first obstacle and you're kind of, yeah, this is great. By about halfway through, you go, at least I am. I'm really starting to breathe heavy at this point. And you look at the vertical wall and you're going, oh my goodness, how am I going to get up there? And the pulse rate's increasing. But then the beauty of being part of the team was we'd work together. And so on the one up there on the left, the picture of the bloke pulling up people. So on our team, from memory, I think it was Gary Wardlaw. He was one of the first guys up, and so Gary's up there, and then our team members would be trying to get up the wall, which was really slick and quite tall. And so Gary, the person had run up as fast as they could, Gary had put his arm down and kind of reef them up. Now, while Gary's trying to pull them up, we're behind the person trying to push them. And it gets kind of awkward as to where you push, but you're trying to push the person up the thing so that we all get across this obstacle. And we work together as a team. And we had so much fun. Now, I think there's an end photo as well. There it is. So note that the shirts aren't as iridescent green any longer. But there's also lots and lots of smiles there. We had so much fun doing this thing together. And this is a similar sort of image, I think, to what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Sometimes the work of the gospel, the work of evangelism, is hard. And sometimes we get nervous and our pulse rate goes up. And we know that this is a long haul thing. It's not just a sissy sprint. We're talking about this over the long haul. We've been talking about this here for many years at Narara when we talk about prepare and sow and grow. How we prepare by engaging in relationship with those who don't know Jesus, in meaningful relationship, not seeing them as some sort of target, but actually engaging with people who don't know Jesus and praying for them, not just living in a little Christian bubble. And then we talk about sowing the word, sowing the gospel in word, deed, and sign. And then we talk about growing disciples. And we know that this is a long haul thing, but we do it together. In fact, again, one of the great memories I have some years ago now, Pete Davies, one of the guys here at Narara, he had a friend. His friend lived about three or four doors down from he and Sarah. And his friend, he said to me, his friend was dying of cancer. He had cancer, I think it was in the throat from memory. And he said, I've been sharing good news, the good news of the gospel with my friend for quite some time now. And he said, I gave him a copy of Philip Yancey's book, What's So Amazing About Grace. And he said, I'd love it if you could come around and have lunch and meet my friend, because I'd love you to kind of share with him more about Jesus. And so I said, I'm always up for a free feed. So we went around there, had a lovely lunch. I got to know his friend, and we talked a bit about the whole concept of grace and what Jesus has done for him. So I said to this fella at the end of the lunch, I said, hey, how about you and I catch up in about a week's time, we can talk about this more. And he was really keen. And so I made an appointment, and I was around there about a week later, and we talked about grace. We talked about what Jesus has done through his death on the cross, through the resurrection. And the guy prays to receive Jesus. The guy becomes a follower of Christ that day. And it was just beautiful to see this. Now, Peter had been developing a relationship with this guy for years and years. I just got to be the person that kind of was there at the end bit, and we kind of worked together as a team. Now, it was about a week later. Sadly for this guy, he went downhill fairly rapidly. And my next visit with him wasn't in his home. It was in hospital, just up at Gosford Hospital there. I went into the hospital, and by this point, he couldn't really talk because of the problem with his throat. And I kid you not, as I walk into his hospital room, he had this chain on, and on the chain is a little cross. And as soon as I walk into the room, his eyes lit up, and he grabbed the cross. He goes, I said, yeah, I know. Isn't Jesus amazing? And I was able to talk with him there and pray with him there. And And about 2 weeks later, I took his funeral. And it was sad that my new friend had passed away. But it was also a time when we got to share again the gospel, because of the transformation that Jesus had made right at the end of this man's life. But I say all that because Pete and I got to partner together in that. We're in this thing together. And part of the beauty of Narara over the years has been we've partnered together for the sake of the gospel. I remember, you know, the facility being filled up running Alpha. And I'd love, you know, I'm not going to be here next year, but man, you know, something like that, to work together for the sake of the gospel. We've got, you know, teams working here every week with Oosh, our youth ministry. We've got, you know, we've got like, what is it, about seven, Lewis was saying, about seven baptisms coming up in a few weeks' time. Most of them have come through our youth ministry or young adult ministry. And I go, wow, look at what God's doing here. We work together as a team. I go, that's awesome. Keep a passion for the lost. In fact, just as an aside, I've had a bit of a nudge over these past few weeks that I actually think that in this next season that Narara is going into, the next dance Narara is going into, that there will be fresh ways to reach this community on the Central Coast, particularly in this region around here, but on the Central Coast. I think that God will lead NVBC into some fresh ways of reaching out into the local community that we've never done before. Maybe some of them we're going to revisit some things that we've kind of left behind some years ago, but I think my sense is, so keep an eye out, I think there could be some downloads that the Lord gives to people about how to reach our community even more effectively that are coming in the next in this next season. Okay. Well, thirdly, Paul says to these leaders, keep a passion for one another. Have a look at verses 28 through 31 there. Paul talks about how the church and particularly the leaders should relate to one another. And specifically, he says two things. He says, firstly, if you're a leader, keep a watch over yourself and the rest of the church. Have a look at verse 28. It says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of God's church, which he bought with his own blood. Now, I find it interesting the order that Paul puts that in. He says, keep a watch over yourself first. Make sure that you keep yourself healthy spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically. Because if you don't, it's going to be difficult for you to help other people. One of the greatest dangers in leadership is that you can be helping so many other people that you end up neglecting yourself. You end up neglecting your own well-being. And then you and consequently the ministry that you're undertaking begins to suffer. God gets pushed to the margins. Emotionally, you get drained. Physically, you get sick. And relationally, you get grumpy. And it's happened to me a number of times over the years. Fortunately, I've been able to be held accountable by a professional supervisor, by elders, by my wife, and I got people in my life who say, oi, Buffhead, like, chill out a little bit. You got to look after yourself. But he also says, not only keep over watch over yourself, but keep watch over the flock. Keep watch over the flock. Just as King David in the Old Testament kept his physical flock of sheep protected from bears and from lions and things like that, leaders have a role in protecting the flock. Now, I'm not saying this to be a big head at all, but part of the role over these years that I've had as a senior pastor here has been protecting the flock. And I've been very blessed with the elders and board and other pastor staff and leaders that I haven't had to do that alone. But there have been times over the years when it's been needed, we've needed to proactively protect the flock from some dangerous people. And sometimes that's actually been misinterpreted, I've got to say, because people haven't had all the details. And sometimes, to be honest, I've lost a lot of sleep over these things, and I've worried about it, but I've come to the conclusion that that is the lot of the shepherd. That's what shepherds do. They protect the sheep. And if you're a leader here at Narara, I want to say to you this morning, it is your God-given responsibility to care for the sheep. So don't shrink away from that responsibility. It's an important one. This is a church of God which he bought with his own blood. And specifically this morning, to elders, to board members, to pastors and staff team members, I want to say keep a watch over yourselves. Spiritually, relationally, emotionally, and physically. look out for one another just as you've looked out for me in the past, and I've greatly appreciated that. Be willing to both hear and to say the tough words about looking after yourselves. Keep watch over the flock, protect them, and lead them well. The second aspect of this passion for one another is actually the issue of watching out for wolves, which Paul talks about in verses 29 to 31. Paul actually says here that even from among the Ephesian elders, wolves can arise. Now, let me say to you, I've got no such belief about Narara, no such prompting about NVBC at all. In fact, one of the biggest encouragements for me as Carol and I step out into this next season is the godliness and the quality of the leaders around here. Honestly, like it has been and continues to be an absolute privilege to serve alongside of our elders, board and pastor staff team. They're just an incredible group of people, and it's a great comfort to me that those leaders are in place. Well, I'm about done. My office is looking particularly messy at the moment because there's a whole lot of packing boxes that are in there. And as I said earlier, this is kind of my last regular message at Narara because Ben's just preaching next week and then Carol and I do the tag team the week after that. But I want to end today a little differently, if you're okay with that. In verse 36, it says that they knelt down and they prayed together. And I'd actually like us to do that today. And if you're at home watching, you can do that. It might mean that you have to put down your coffee and get out of bed, but that's okay. But I'd love it if we could all do that. I want to pray Paul's prayer of blessing for you from verse 32. And then lead you in prayer. So I'm just going to ask you, if you're comfortable to do so and if your knees are willing, you might want to just kneel down where you are right now. Okay. Lord Jesus, I pray in the words of Paul, Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God, I pray blessing over this church, NVBC. Lord, I pray blessing over her leaders, and I thank you for them. I thank you for the way in which you've raised up each one. I thank you for the godliness that's evident there. I thank you for the fun that we have together. I thank you for their heart for you, their heart for the people of this church, and their heart for the community here at the Central Coast. And God, I pray for the leaders, Lord, that you would give them great wisdom, that you would give them insight, that like the men of Issachar in the Old Testament, that they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. I pray that our leaders here would also understand the times, crazy times that we're in at the moment, and know what Narara should do. And I pray, Lord, for the church as a whole. I pray that we would make their ministry a joy and not a burden. I pray that you would continue to raise up not only disciples, but disciple makers, not only leaders, but people who are multiplying leaders, not only this church, but this church would continue to multiply into other churches as well. God, I pray for the community in which you have placed us here on the coast and ask that you would go ahead of us, Holy Spirit, into homes all over the coast, and that as in going in advance of us, that you would prepare hearts. Lord, that you would soften the hardness of heart that can be there sometimes. Lord, where there is rocky soil, where there is cluttered soil with thorns and thistles and weeds, where it's just like a path and impregnable almost, I pray that you would break up those things by the Holy Spirit, that you would uproot that which needs to be uprooted, that you would remove rocks that are impediments to the gospel, and Lord, that there would be a fresh outpouring of the work of your Spirit in this region, and that you would be making new disciples of Jesus who would be multiplying disciples. So God, I pray blessing over this community which you have called us to be a part of. Lord, I pray that you would give this church great wisdom for the days ahead as to how best to be reaching those who don't know Jesus just yet. Lord, would you give them fresh insight, fresh download about how best to do that. Lord, I pray that the very best years of Narara would still be ahead of her, and that as we look back on this season, we go, wow, that was great, but wow, look at what God did even after that. Look at the way, the fresh things that God was doing, the fresh outpouring of His Spirit, the fresh leadership that He was bringing to bear within the life of this church. Lord, keep us attentive to Your Spirit. Help us to be gracious to one another as well. I pray that this would be a church where grace is in place. Lord, continue to help us to be a church that is desperate for You and passionate for people. Lord, keep us desperate for You. Keep us wanting to press greater into relationship with You. And I pray that in doing that, we might reflect You more and more, and help us to keep passionate for people, the people of our community globally, Lord, in mission, the people of the nations, and one another. Keep us passionate for one another. God, would You bless this community that I love so much. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.